But what came to mind was that I think one of those roots of the lies that we believe about productivity is rooted in who I am as is isn't good enough. So I have to put on top of that other things, accomplishments, materialistic things, accolades. And I think that that's the root of the lie of the enemy to say, oh, you're not good enough just being the image of God.
You're listening to the Experience Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Ajene Gaylord, and I endeavor to educate, encourage, and empower women to embrace emotional healing and eradicate the stigma of mental health in the body of Christ.
On this episode, we wrap up our series on the lie of productivity with the final answers to those questions and our life work for this series. I want to ask, how do we overcome the lie of productivity? And how do we begin to build a life that is more focused on who we are versus what we do, but also maintaining a sense of being able to create and produce and develop and ignite without the pressures of meeting somebody else's standard? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we even, what are the lies that we embraced that led us to think that what we do is the only thing that mattered? And that if we don't check this list off, then that means that we're not that great. And I say that in two contexts. I say that first, when it comes to just being a member of society, just being a part of the world and existing, but also in the body of Christ, we have this hierarchy of maturity, this hierarchy of productivity, that in order for me to appear to be a good Christian, it means I have to check off this list. So it's kind of creeped into the church, this idea that in order for it to mean something, it has to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Instead of leaning into our relationship with the Father, leaning into our connection with Him, just being with Him, just connecting with His Word, just connecting with His people without it having to look like XYZ or something in particular. So tell me your thoughts on, what that looks like to you or what you're thinking.
Yeah, which I think there's that freedom piece. I think that formalized religion is like, do this to be right with God. You must, you know, pray at this time or do this. It's very radical to believe that you are unconditionally loved by God, meaning you do not have to perform. And that is something that I chew on often, of not like I'm going to sit on my behind and do nothing. There's too much in my heart, my mind, the relationships that I have that would cause me to not do that. But you were talking about shame. And I picked up my book called Shameless, Your Season of Hiding is Over. Something I underlined was, in a relentless effort to protect ourselves from the pain of shame, we attempt to do all the quote right things, like spending hours in selfless volunteer projects, giving money we don't have, climbing the ranks of church and society, and smiling when we're crying. If our motivation for being good is only to keep shame, guilt, and condemnation at bay, we will find ourselves in an exhausting gauntlet of trying, failing, trying harder, fault finding, trying harder, worry, stress, self-criticism, hiding for a while, mustering a bit of strength, trying harder yet again until we collapse in weariness and despair. And so a main crux of her book is, she said this based on Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, which she gives it from the Message Bible. She says, God's plan and purpose from before the foundation of the earth was that we would know and experience His life and love and be perfectly united with Him. He created us so we could be family. And so this version, again, I know it's a paraphrase, but it says, long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. So I think that there's the posture of a receiving from God, that grace is unmerited. And so that's where the humility comes in, to say, I am not going to try to produce. I am not going to say, I owe this to God, but I'm going to say thank you for what you did for me, and live in a posture of gratitude and thankfulness. So my purpose, the way I spend my time, all of that kind of, again, flips on its head or shifts to, what are we going to do today? How can I enjoy God, enjoy the people around me, knowing that there will come positive things from it that will flow out of it? Like, it's enough to spend time with a friend, to enjoy a sunset, a sunrise, things like that. That is life. That is living. Because to me, all those little pieces add up. Instead of saying, what's this big project you created? It's like all those little moments adding up to something, you know, to look at God and be like, he's going to be more pleased with me if I am producing something versus if I'm sitting and being in awe and wonder of something that he created. You know, our minds are just so warped in a way to think that, like, what are we trying to accomplish? Is it about pleasing God? Is it about, you know, God will be happy with me, or my fellow man will be happy with me? Like,
yeah, I think it's the fellow man, and or ourselves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Which then again, it's like, so then we need to spend that time of almost like renewing our minds to, okay, what am I here for? What's the point of all this? What's the goal? Mm-hmm. To me, it always comes back to relationships. And I don't look at time with, you know, family and friends as checking something off a list. I'm not being productive because I spent time with my children in the day, right? Mm-hmm. I almost feel like our little ripple of, can we just go live our lives? And, you know, I know I'm going to go to the library today, one of my favorite places in the world to be, but just go with a smile on my face. You know, Jesus is in me, being kind, loving, and like, just give people that I come around the freedom to be without looking at them in some sort of, you know, mindset of, I wonder how much money you make. I wonder, you know, what you've done today for society, right? Like, that just seems so silly.
Are your kids in private school?
Right. And because I think the climbing the ladder, the attaining, the mm-hmm. whatever, like, to in the end, right? What's the end of this? Are people living happy lives? Are people living, if we're doing,
peaceful lives?
Peaceful, yeah. Happy, fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we be looking at fulfillment more than the amount of money you have, right? Like, to be in a home where we only have one breadwinner, you know, what is that? Like, mm-hmm. but to say, not in a look at us, you should want to be like us type of way, but it just, look at us if you want to. And if you say, wow, that does seem like a family that is enjoying life, that is embracing life, embracing relationships, and they're not trying to climb, climb, climb and do. It's mm-hmm. it's just the enjoyment, the living, the one step at a time, one day at a time type of life.
Yeah. I think you mentioned shame, and I want to circle back to that. But what came to mind was that I think one of those roots of the lies that we believe about productivity is rooted in who I am as is isn't good enough. So I have to put on top of that other things, accomplishments, materialistic things, accolades. And I think that that's the root of the lie of the enemy to say, oh, you're not good enough just being the image of God. You have to do something more to appear to be better than what you are. And I think that that root lie of the enemy, it comes from us not fully embracing the fact that we are the image of God. We are made in his image and after his likeness. And that alone gives us value when we accept what Christ has done to redeem us from the fall and from our sin and to place us in eternal places with him. That adds to us being the image of God, and that further solidifies our worth and value. And there's nothing that we can add to it or take away from it. It just is. And as we embrace that more and more, I think we will lean into reflecting God's image. And that's what I'm focused on, quote unquote, producing is a mirror, is a reflection of God. And if I'm going to work at anything, it's working at being more like Christ. It's working at taking off of those things that are not like him, kind of like Paul said in the scripture where he's like, I do this crucifying of my flesh. I beat on my flesh daily because I'm just trying to get off the things that are not Christ. And he's like, but all my efforts are like dung. Like all the stuff I try to do doesn't measure up to anything, because what matters is not my righteousness, it's the righteousness of God. What matters is not my efforts, it's what Christ has already done. It's not up to me. And not to say that we shouldn't be responsible for how we show up, because there is a sanctification process. That's something we talked about before. There's this journey that you continue on as a believer until the Lord calls you home or Christ returns for the second time. We work towards being like Christ, but not in our own power. That's the key. It's not based on our power. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us when we accept Christ. And so the shame lie says, I need to hide. I need to cover up. I need to do more because something isn't right. Think about the fall of mankind very often in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. And the very first thing that they did was try to cover up. And this is a pattern that we as mankind have been practicing ever since, that the minute we do something that we really should not have done, or someone does something to us that they should not have done, however it comes about, the first thing we try to do is hide and cover up. We try to go and do something to protect ourselves. We try to do something to shield ourselves, because now we realize something isn't okay. And if we can reject that lie of the enemy that who you are as you are isn't enough, and embrace the truth that through Christ, I am all that I need to be. In Christ, I've been redeemed and set free, and I no longer am in that fallen condition. I'm no longer subject to my sin. I'm no longer in that place that I can embrace the fruit of the Spirit, which is all the stuff you just talked about: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and self-control. I don't have to be out of control emotionally. I don't have to succumb to anger and bitterness and frustration and unforgiveness. I can have peace. I can operate in love. Love is patient and kind and suffers long. It doesn't boast. It doesn't envy. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It believes all, hopes all, endures all. I can have that instead of this measuring stick where I'm trying to see, do I measure up? Am I good enough? Do I match what someone else has declared to be righteous or good or productive? Or have I accepted and embraced, there's that word, embracing everything, every divinely ordained moment, being free to just walk in and live in the moment, not all the processing. You know, this is interesting to me, because I'm someone who God has called to do a lot of stuff. It's not like he hasn't given me a lot of stuff to do, but it's not out of trying to accomplish some type of level of accolades or trying to get some, you know, some type of position or trying to clamor towards some end goal. It's because he created me to communicate his truth. And in order to do that, he wants me to go to school, to develop myself, to study, to show myself approved. In order to do that, there are some things, experiences that he wants me to have. There are some people that he wants me to engage with in order to do the thing that he's created me to do, to bring his name much glory, to reflect the image of who he is to others. That's why I do the things that I do. Even in our homeschool, our model for home education is to learn about God and his creation so that we can grow to love God and his creation in order to lend ourselves to God and his creation. Mm-hmm. Our homeschool model isn't based on get all of the grades, take all of the classes, learn all of the mm-hmm. things. It's on learn about God and what he has mm-hmm. done through history, through humanity, looking at if we're going to study a subject, it's going to be from that lens. Yeah. If we're going to study math, it's going to be from the lens of what is math? How is it that God uses it and shows us how math is in everything, including music, mm-hmm. the system that he created, not something that man created. Man yeah. may have recognized it, but God created mm-hmm. it. How did he put it together? How do these numbers work? What is this process? Mm-hmm. We study geography, looking at the land formations and the progression of migration of mankind and history. We do all of these things from the lens of what did God do? Who is God? How is he operating in humanity? Mm-hmm. What are the things that he did so that we can love him and his creation, mm-hmm. not just the plants and the animals, but his people? How do we engage in relationship? How do we treat others? How do we connect with others? How do we go to deal with difficult mm-hmm. people? How do we engage in relationships with people that we would prefer not to? How do we get along with our siblings and contribute to the home? Like, so that we can then figure out who we are in this to lend ourselves, mm-hmm. to give of who we are to God and his creation, to connect with humanity, to connect with God, to connect with the people around us, to find a cause. And not because we want to check something off the mm-hmm. list, not because we want to get to a certain place of prestige so other people can cheer us on and champion mm-hmm. us, but so that we can just be who he created us to be. And I think if we flip it back to what I believe God originally created, we'll lose a lot of that pressure, mm-hmm. the anxiety, mm-hmm. the fear, the questioning, mm-hmm. the comparison, yeah. the measuring that comes when it's about meeting some standard that God never mm-hmm. set. Mm. I'm talking to myself.
Yeah. Sin and shame entered the picture when Adam and Eve did not believe God's declaration that they were very good. They decided they could be more, quote, good, more like God. If they did something, they wanted to decide for themselves what was good and what was evil instead of trusting what God said about it. And actually,
You saying something.
Well, yeah, this is a really good book and I'm picking it up again, you know, for myself. This is the question. The first chapter is, who do you think you are? And so all of this division and separation stems from struggling to obtain by our own effort the very thing that God gave us freely. And then I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to show my children. Like, I don't want to pass on to them the struggle, strive, try to become something. This is who God made you to be. You receive from him and you're like, okay, what's the adventure today? What's, you know, help me to see the people or whatever. But it's just that, again, day by day, little by little, being.
Just being.
Oh, so our pastor the last couple of weeks has talking about not despising the day of small beginnings. And based on the verse, I believe it's in Zechariah, what I've actually been kind of chewing on a little bit is, what's the problem with small? Like, we do not need to be focused on, you know, supersizing things, bigger, better, bigger, better, good, not good enough, better, best, you know, what's the problem with the small, the little, the,
yeah.
And so I know he's probably getting somewhere and, you know, he's talked, we're a small church and, you know, but he's also been part of a larger church in Singapore and stuff. And so he's like, if we're small, if we're big, that's fine. You know, desire to be bigger in order to impact people, right? So there's always that, balance. The balance.
Yeah.
But I think if we can just help some of the people around us to be like, it's okay. We don't have to keep pushing. And, you know, what's the point of all this pushing, striving, you know, trying to be something we're not, or trying to achieve something so that we'll get the recognition, like all that weight that we just said.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe it's okay that little, the small, if it grows into something, great. If it doesn't, that's okay too. So,
yeah. I mean, think about a mustard seed. It's pretty small. Yeah. But when planted and cultivated, it grows into a mighty, mighty, mighty tree. And Christ in the scriptures compared the kingdom of God to that, compared faith to that, in that it can be, once it's planted and cultivated, it can be mighty. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, start out big. Right. I think the comparison has a lot to do with the character of the seed, but then also the size, you know, the fact that you can take that tiny thing and it can become something so great. And it's not about what its efforts were. It just was what it was.
It was just
a mustard seed.
And it became what it was supposed to be. And it became what it was supposed to be. Time marched on.
Woo, honey.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that's, I think, the overall message is, if you can tap into who you are, who you're created to be, who do you think you are, is the question. So you can determine, how can I just be? And from that is going to produce exactly what is supposed to come from you. That's what's going to bring God glory. That's what's going to bring the relationships that you have around you great enjoyment and peace and connection. That's what's going to matter. And I think that if we can shift our focus away from, okay, what can I go and get? What can I go and how can I perform? How can I do? What is it that I can accomplish in order to then have value? And we reverse it and say, no, I already have value in who I am. And this is how I discover myself. The more I spend time with the Lord and myself, I learn more about who he made me to be, the things that I like, the things that I enjoy, the things that are naturally I'm bent towards. Then from there, we can see as we live and connect and exist what comes from it, and leave that to leave a legacy, leave that to connect with others, leave that to bring God glory. And I think we'll remove a lot of what is leading so many people to mental distress and anxiety and the overwhelming feeling of not being enough. The lie that the enemy told Adam and Eve is the same lie he's still telling today. God really didn't say that. He didn't really mean that. You can have more. It's a lie. We have all that we need. When we come to Christ, we have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That is what we have access to. And that brings peace. That brings joy. That allows for us to stop the comparison and stop the measuring. The only measurement is Christ. And his measurement is humility and peace and servitude. And like, he's just chill. Like, it's not about get all the things done. What a great way to end our series on productivity. The life work for these episodes is to identify ways that you have put more emphasis on what you do than who you are. And make a list of all the things that God has given to you, talents, skills, abilities, interests, just things that bring you joy, things that make you laugh, things that make you smile, that have nothing to do with what it is you do. That's it for this episode. If you have been enjoying listening, please consider sharing and subscribing to the podcast. And until next time, remember, you have been set free to live free. So choose freedom.